the Pastor's Desk. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Sitters of Grace Missionary Baptist Church. You can find us at 6977 Summerfield Road, Temperance, Michigan, 48182. We welcome any mail or email with questions or concerns or even requests of the Baptist papers that we have mentioned in the past. And you can email me at PastorJoeGMBC@gmail.com. That middle part is easy to remember because it is the initials of Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Once again, PastorJoeGMBC@gmail.com. We are located, in case you're looking at a map right now trying to find Temperance, Michigan, it is but a small dot, but we are two blocks north of Toledo, Ohio, and undoubtedly most in the states have heard of Toledo, Ohio. So if you're looking for us, don't hesitate to reach out via email, certainly, if you need directions, but if you find Toledo, you'll not have too much trouble finding us. We welcome you to our Sunday services anytime. Our Sunday school starts at 10 a.m. Our main worship service starts at 11 a.m. And our afternoon Bible study and worship service starts at 2 p.m. We don't currently have a midweek service, but we do welcome you anytime to our Sunday services. I want to thank and welcome anyone who might be listening through Podbean, which is the home of our feed for our audio services and our audio outreach. You can also find us on iTunes, looking for Grace Missionary Baptist Church, Facebook, looking for the same thing. And we thank anyone who might be listening in through Grace Today Radio, as well as Missionary Baptist Radio, certainly thankful and praying for these two outreaches and for the brethren who put so much work into making them possible. Our reading this morning is called God's Distinguishing Grace, written by Abraham Booth, who lived from 1734 to 1806. God's Distinguishing Grace. The doctrine of election, or which is the same thing, the doctrine of distinguishing grace, is now very much exploded. It is generally deemed unworthy of serious notice by the learned and philosophic gentlemen of the present age, though it cannot be denied to have made a considerable figure in those systems of divinity that were adopted by men of eminence for piety and learning in former ages, and particularly by our first reformers from popery. Yet now it is ranked by many among the rash opinions of a credulous antiquity. It is cashiered as a doctrine abhorrent from reason and as at eternal war with moral perfections of God. It is consigned over to oblivion, as worthy of no more regard than the bold inquiries and wild conclusions, the laborious trifling and learned lumber of the ancient, doting popish schoolmen. It is also traduced as a declared enemy to practical piety and as highly injurious to the comfort and hope of mankind. This being the case, we need not wonder that it is now become quite unfashionable. But what is the reason of this tragical outcry against it? If I be not greatly deceived, it is as follows. The doctrine lays the axe at the root of all our boasted moral excellence. This doctrine in its native consequences demolishes every subterfuge of human pride, as it leaves not the shadow of a difference between one man and another, why the deity should regard and save this person rather than that, but teaches all who know and all who embrace it to rest in the memorable maxim, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Resolving the whole into divine grace and divine sovereignty, without paying the least compliment to the learning, sagacity, or character of any who dare to arraign the divine conduct it repels. It repels their insolence in the following blunt manner. "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" It further teaches that as unmerited kindness and sovereign favor began the work of salvation, so the same grace must carry it on and complete the vast design, while the Most High, ever jealous of His honor, is determined to have all the glory. Other reasons might be mentioned, but these may suffice to show that the spirit of independence, which is natural to man, and reigns in the unregenerate, must be fired with resentment by such an attack upon it. Hence the few notaries of this unpopular doctrine must expect reproach and ridicule, if not something more severe, to attend the profession of a tenant so unpolite. His second point is entitled, Fruits, Not the Cause of Election. Fruits, not the cause of election. Faith in Christ and holy obedience are represented by the unerring Spirit as the fruits and effects of election. They cannot, therefore, be considered as the cause without absurdity and reason and a contradiction to divine revelation. For it is written, As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. He hath chosen us that we might be holy. They believe because they were ordained to eternal life, not ordained to eternal life because it was foreseen they would believe. They were chosen not because they were or ever would be holy, but that they might be so, and those only partake of the faith who are called by divine grace, but such only are called to faith and holiness who were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Again, the chosen of God are the sheep of Christ. None but those who are so denominated believe on him, according to his own declaration, Ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. By which we are taught that believing in him does not make us sheep, or give us a right to the character, but is an evidence that we were so considered in the sight of God, and given into the hands of the great shepherd to be saved by him. Once more, God hath called us with an holy calling, not according to, not in consideration of, our works, whether past or future, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. If then we are not called according to our works or worthiness, but according to the everlasting purpose and free distinguishing grace of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, much less is it to be supposed that we were chosen according to them or in any foresight of them. To illustrate the truth and confirm the argument, it may be further observed that faith and holiness and the method of grace occupy a middle station. They are neither the foundation nor the top stone in the spiritual building. Though inseparably connected with election, they are neither its cause nor its consummation. That is sovereign grace, this infinite glory. Faith and holiness are, as one observes, what stalks the branches and branches are to a root. Faith and holiness are, as one observes, what stalks and branches are to a root, by which the vegetable juices ascend to produce and ripen the principal fruit. By grace ye are saved through faith, chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Consequently, they are no more the cause of election than the means necessary to attain any valuable end are the cause of appointing that end. Then, which nothing can be supposed more absurd, besides if men were foreseen as possessed of faith and holiness prior to their election and independent of it, it is hard to conceive what occasion there was for their being elected. There could be no necessity for it to secure their final happiness, for the judge of all the earth must do it, and eternal misery was never designed to be the portion of any who believe and are holy. For peace and salvation are inseparably joined to such a state and to such characters. To have ordained those to happiness and glory that were foreseen to be thus qualified would, therefore, have been altogether unnecessary. My favorite portion of this writing by Abraham Booth is where he says, Faith and holiness are, as one observes, what stalks and branches are to a root, by which the vegetable chooses ascend to produce and ripen the principal fruit. Praise God for that holy truth, and praise God for his work of salvation towards those of us so unworthy, towards those of us who could have never earned it, towards those of us who aren't headed in a direction in which we will ever earn it, but by grace and grace alone. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this writing. We thank you for those who are listening. We thank you for our local visible assembly here in Temperance, Michigan, Lord. We pray that you would bless this work, that you would bless this audio, that you bless this church, that you'd bless more lost sinners with your grace, that salvation would abound and that we would rejoice with you and the angels on high as the lost sheep are found. We thank you, Father, for our calling, our sanctification. We thank you for the truth of your gospel, for the mission that you have set us on to share and commit our lives to you. I pray, Father, you would enable us to truly dedicate or consecrate our lives to you, that, Father, you would see fit to crucify our flesh, our fleshly desires and our fleshly abilities, that we would depend more and more and more upon you. We thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear listener. I pray that you found a blessing here in this reading. Again, we look forward to hearing from you or seeing you soon. In Jesus' name, amen.